Today's presentation in breast cancer surgery. You have covered almost all the aspects and very rightly said management in case of screen detected breast cancer by mammography is very difficult. It is called image guided surgery. Where I have a palpable lesion, you can easily do that conservation surgery, but in case of lesion which are not palpable, it has to be planned well. The radiologist will help you to mark the lesion, and then you have to take the patient to operation theater to do a proper surgery. Of course, specimen mammography is very important. To have a negative margin, you have to do the first section also. So normally attempt is, if you see multiple lesion in the breast, microcalcification, you have to straightway go for mastectomy. If the lesion is segmental, then you can always plan about conservative surgery followed by with or without radiotherapy, depending on the poor prognostic factors. So with this, we go to the next speaker, Dr. Shri Vasanu. He'll be talking on benign breast disease. Sir, will you finish within 15 minutes time? So Dr. Raghu has to speak about 10 minutes.
Good afternoon. After a long day of cancers and precancers, we will talk about a benign thing for a change. Next. Benign breast disease is a very common problem. Almost 50% of women in their lifetime will have one or the other benign breast problem. One thing is here, most of the benign breast diseases are diagnosed by clinical diagnosis. But what is more important is the risk assessment for development of malignancy. And sometimes we have to exclude the malignancy. Patient may come with a lump, whether it is benign or malignant, that is important. And proper treatment, there are a lot of misconceptions. We have to give proper treatment for benign breast disease. There are the common symptoms, lumpy breasts, or sometimes they come with the lump, pain with or without lump, and nipple discharge. One important problem nowadays we are facing with concentration of breast awareness is cancer phobia. Many women come with fear whether they will develop cancer or not, even though there is no physical finding. And how to deal with them is another important aspect. So lumps in breasts are very common. Most of them are benign. But one thing, any lump can be malignant. So if there is a lump, the first important thing we should see is whether it is benign or malignant. Exclude malignancy. The only definitive tool that excludes malignancy is histopathology. So the dictum would be, if you are in doubt, better to remove the lump rather than go on following up the patient. So like any good clinical practice, a history taking, physical examination, and should come to a clinical diagnosis. Imaging is rarely needed in diagnosis of benign breast disease. FNAC cytology may be needed. So age. Malignancy occurs usually in the postmenopausal or perimenopausal woman. So a lump that occurs in a premenopausal woman is likely to be a benign lump, whereas a lump that occurs in a postmenopausal woman is more likely to be malignant. But we have seen malignancies in young as 18 years. What we have to see is when a lump is there, whether it is single or multiple, unilateral or bilateral, and duration of the lump, progression, regression, and periodicity. Is there any relationship with the menstrual cycles? Whether it is painful or painless? And if it is painful, you should look for the nature and periodicity of the pain. Then you look for the nipple discharge. If it is there, is it unilateral or bilateral? Is it coming from single duct or multiple ducts? And finally, what is the nature and color of the nipple discharge? Sometimes the patients come with a change in the breast shape or size or changes in nipple and areola. These are all the symptoms. A proper history taking goes a long way in diagnosis of benign breast disease, and you should take a detailed history. Then, of course, the past history, menstrual history routine. But one thing about intake of oral contraceptives and hormone replacement therapy is important. Then, of course, the inspection. In palpation, one important thing is you should palpate the breast in lying down posture, whereas you can palpate the any lesion against the rigid chest wall. The second important thing is we should palpate with the flat of the hand rather than with the fingertips. This is how we should palpate rather than palpate with the fingertips, because palpation of the fingertips, which are more sensitive, will pick up any lump, whether it is benign or malignant, whereas palpation of the flat of the hand picks up lumps which are hot, that is what is called a dominant lump or a significant lump. Any lump that can be palpable with the flat of the hand is, and we have to consider it carefully and exclude malignancy. And don't forget to examine the axilla and supraclavicular areas in these patients. Imaging. Once you make a clinical diagnosis of a benign breast disease, imaging is rarely important. And one more thing you should understand is imaging is only of corroborative nature. It cannot diagnose anything. The diagnosis is always by FNAC or biopsy. Imaging can be used to exclude non-palpable pathology. FNAC is highly operator dependent. It is a value only when it confirms the clinical diagnosis. And we talked about the triple correlation, whether clinically, imaging, and FNAC all point to a benign lesion, we can be happy that it is a benign lesion. But if there is anything that is contradictory, should go for a biopsy. Perhaps the histopathology is the final diagnostic tool. We've got different methods of histopathological obtaining the specimen. Needle biopsies can be done, true cut needle, coarse needle, or a mammotome. It can be guided if you cannot palpate any lump, or if there are a lot of lumps and you don't know from where you have to take, you can use either mammography or ultrasound to guide it. Open biopsy sometimes may be required. These are some of the common conditions which come as lump. The fibroadenosis. This is very common, but it should be diagnosed only in premenopausal women. The postmenopausal woman comes, we should not diagnose fibroadenosis, because it is also considered as aberration in the normal development and involution of the breast tissue. During the menstrual period, the breast is subjected to differing hormonal environment, like in the proliferative phase, there is estrogen, and in the secretory phase, there is progesterone. Because of the variations in this, there are changes in the breast which will result in fibroadenosis. One thing you should remember is it can be unilateral or bilateral, or even in one breast it can be either diffuse or it can be localized. Simply because it is a hormonal condition, it should not be considered that it should always be bilateral. It can be painful or painless, but majority of them are painful. And the pain and lumpiness may be periodic, may not be periodic. So the one thing is you have to look for any dominant lump. The dominant lump is one which is palpable with the flat of the hand. Whereas in fibroadenosis, there can be lumpy breast, but we cannot palpate any definite lump with the flat of the hand. If you can palpate a dominant lump with the flat of the hand, then you should draw the attention to that lump and that should be investigated. Otherwise, it's a clinical diagnosis. The most important thing here is explanation of the pathology to the patient, reassurance that it is not malignant. Re-examination goes in a long way. For example, patient comes with a lumpy breast in premenstrual period. Then ask the patient to come after the menstrual cycle, re-examine, and see how the condition is. Breast support greatly reduces the discomfort. Analgesics can be used. Evening primrose oil is another important drug. But what we advise is you should not use any anti-estrogen like danazole. What happens is when you use danazole, there is breast atrophy, and the patient will come back. It gives a good symptomatic relief, but the important problem is the androgenic side effects. So breast atrophy, which is irreversible, is a major problem, so we don't advise danazole. And then what is the risk of developing malignancy in fibroadenosis? Fibroadenosis risk depends upon the histology. If it is non-proliferative, there is no increased risk. If it is proliferative without atypia, the risk is 1.5 to 2 times, considered as low risk. Proliferative with atypia, the atypical hyperplasia, has a greater risk. The risk is 4 to 5 times. Then fibroadenoma, this is known as breast mass. If you can move one lump from one quadrant to diametrically opposite quadrant, then you can easily diagnose fibroadenoma. So in fibroadenomas, wherever they are, with a circumvallar incision to remove them. Then galactosyl is a rare condition. It presents as a painful firm lump. It dates from the time of lactation. It may calcify, may contain milk. Excision is a treatment once you diagnose this. Antibiomas are chronic wall abscesses, usually follow acute abscesses. A painless or painful lump, well-defined, formed to heart, it's clinically very difficult to differentiate from malignancy. FNAC give a diagnosis, but it is always excision that is the treatment. Fatty necrosis, again, may not follow trauma. This is another lump which is extremely difficult to diagnose clinically from malignancy. FNAC is the only tool that may give an indication, but again, excision is the treatment of choice. Ductal tissue is, nowadays we are finding it is very common. The patient may present with a lump or nipple discharge. It mimics carcinoma again in different aspects, like nipple retraction may be there, mass may be there, but imaging gives an indication. For example, ultrasound or even mammography may show dilated ducts leading to problem. Prolonged antibiotic therapy is the considered treatment, but some patients may require excision of the mass, and sometimes it is from the multiple ducts, we may have to consider excision of all major ducts. Then second important symptom with which patients come is nipple discharge, but more than 90% of nipple discharges are benign. Lump may be there, may not be there. Once it is there, you should look at the nature of the nipple discharge and send a discharge for cytology, and you can use imaging for if any lump is there. Milky discharge most of the times is physiological. Whereas pale serous discharge is indicative of fibroadenosis. Green and sticky discharge is almost definitive of duct ectasia. And when it's bloody discharge, most common condition is duct papilloma. Less than 20% of the women with bloody discharge will have malignancy, but you should carefully investigate them. Then breast pain. Pain alone is a rare symptom. Usually it's part of lumps and fibroadenosis. But one important thing is a continuous point pain at only one particular point may be due to malignancy, and you should do biopsy to rule out malignancy. Then cancer phobia coming to. Once the patient may come, there are no physical findings, no symptoms. The patient is worried whether she will have cancer in the future. Here, as a clinician, we should look at risk assessment. What is the risk of that woman developing cancer? You explain the different aspects of cancer development and also about the treatment. The high-risk women are those with BRCA1 and 2 mutations, family history of genetically transmitted carcinoma, mantle irradiation, atypical hyperplasia, lobular carcinoma in situ, and it, again a Gale model, age at menarche, younger age at menarche, age at first childbirth, more than 30 years carries risk, number of previous breast biopsies, more the number, more the risk, and presence or absence of atypical hyperplasia in the specimen, and number of first degree relatives with carcinoma breast, more the number, more the risk. We have got a lot of websites like NSABP website, which gives the relative risk if you feed all the data. Then suppose the patient is at high risk for developing cancer, how do you manage? One is your explanation. What is the risk of her developing malignancy? We can use a lot of websites where the risk assessment will be done. Then you can always advise about lifestyle changes, which I'm going to tell later. And those women at high risk for malignancy, screening should be started early. Mammographic screening usually is from 40 years, but if the patient is at high risk, you may have to start screening at an early age. You may have to use MRI for screening in them, as mammography may not be very effective. You can consider tamoxifen as a chemo preventive agent, which has been shown of benefit in a lot of clinical trials. And especially women with the genetic abnormalities like BRCA1 and 2, we should consider prophylactic mastectomy and prophylactic oophorectomy also. So what are the lifestyle changes? Avoid alcohol, high fat diet, avoid weight gain, especially postmenopausal weight gain, avoiding ionizing radiation unnecessarily. This is where what is important. we should not submit women unnecessarily for mammography. In a 20-year or 30-year woman, use of mammography should not be taken lightly because it's rarely indicated and rarely informative. Should not use unnecessary medicines also. There are some articles saying that prolonged use of antibiotics increase the chance of malignancy in breast. Regular physical exercise and take fresh fruits and vegetables. These are the lifestyle changes advised for primary prevention of breast cancer. In summary, what I would like to tell is benign breast disease is quite common, but it is diagnosed clinically, not by any imaging or biopsy. Explanation and proper treatment are important. The patient comes with doubts about malignancy. We should assess proper cancer risk, advise about primary prevention, and advise about screening. Thank you very much.